Well, it's my privilege and honor to introduce to you our speaker for this morning. Many of you have heard me share with you many times that I've contacted Pastor Carnes, and this is a unique ministry experience pastoring in Naperville, Illinois, in Trinity Church. And he and Chris both have been just incredible supporters over the years. And we had a time yesterday where I took them around the building and showed them and shared with them. He was definitely surprised to see that his office is now a prayer room. But what a great place to convert an office into a prayer room, amen? So the amount of prayers that you gave in that office are now being magnified with the prayers of the saints that join there to pray for the church. And we walked around, and they had questions, and we're just so excited and delighted to see we've been taking care of the building. We've been taking care of the church, and we've been good stewards. And again, that comes because of the dedication and the passion and the heart of the body of Christ, who is the church. So would you help me in welcoming Pastor Jerry Carnes?
Well, thank you very much. If you guys would behave yourself, it would make things a lot easier, you know? It is such a privilege for Chris and me to be back. It is so great to see so many people, so many wonderful friends. And I appreciated so much what Darren said, that it certainly wasn't Chris or myself or Pastor Steve and Kaylee or any pastors that came before me. We'd like to think that we had a little bit of help. But the help came from people like you. But the power and the source. There's a lot of things that changed, folks. I'm changing. You're changing. Your kids have changed. I hardly recognize them. So even while we are in a day that everything continues to evolve and it changes, changes, changes. For 75 years, this church has celebrated the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Where will it go from this day? As I was sitting down in front and just listening, participating in the worship service, I couldn't help but notice some things that have not changed. And for the future of this church and the continuation of this church, they can't change. And you are looking at it. It's the cross. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of an Almighty God that is around us, that speaks to us, that challenges us, that calls us, that transforms our lives. We talk about a gospel that's good news. Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, and how awesome, how incredible. But he'll do more than save us. He transforms us. And when he transforms us, then you become people like over the last 75 years, that have found a place. Goodness, we had folks who walked into this church, and I'm sure it happens today. They don't have a clue who Jesus is, let alone what a Nazarene is. But if we can show them Jesus, the other things will come up. And so today, boy, I tell you what, as I've thought about what can I say, what can I do, and first of all, you have a wonderful, top-notch pastor and wife. We have come to love them, and as Pastor Steve has said, that we have talked some by phone, and And it was just a real delight to be here. They have taken care of us in such a wonderful fashion. But as I was thinking about coming, 75 years, 75th anniversary. You know, there's an anniversary you celebrate, but 75 years you really celebrate. And thanks so much for allowing Chris and I to come and share this with you. But as the celebration continues, I want to talk to you about the three R's. Not reading, writing, and arithmetic. But if we're really going to celebrate an anniversary, we need to stop to remember. We pause to rejoice. And then we ask God to refuel our tanks so that we can respond. I'll talk some of about what we were, some of what we are, and some of what we need to become. Chris and our humble beginning at Naperville Trinity was in November of 1988. In our first service, there were 18 people. Last night in the service, and then on the screen this morning, you saw the picture of a family. Actually, two families. One was shown last night, and that was Howard and Roberta Miller. Probably the majority of you folks never had the privilege of meeting them. But there always is a beginning. There is a starting point. There is a place where it begins. And with Howard and Roberta Miller and a few other people, they started in a prayer group somewhere on Washington Street. And from that came the Trinity Church of the Nazarene. But the other family that I wanted to call your attention to was Al and Ardell Copeland. It was funny, as Chris and I were driving up here the other day, she said, and she was thinking, we think it was the Snowbarger family. Some of you remember them. Larry and, goodness, I can't even remember her name. But it was one of their children. When they drove under the carport, their little girl refused to get out of the car. And she said, why aren't you getting out? Because Mr. Kochman isn't there. Al, if you knew him, big, strong, just bigger than me, I'll tell you. And actually, he could give a bark when he wanted to. But boy, was he tender and loving. But he loved God and he loved the church. And it was true that Ardell would walk around the property over on Naperville Road praying that God would open the doors and would help the church be going. It was kind of hard to believe that just a few weeks before we accepted the position here that the district superintendent, Dr. Keith Bottles, had met with the church board. And if we had said no, they were going to close the doors. Out of those people that met us, Alan Ardell Kochman, Rich and Cheryl Fiedler, Jamie and Becky Stepp, Stephen and Karen Ball, Jay and Kathy Wallace, Mark and Menarzik, David and Debbie Springs, Glenn Weitzel. And then there was Mark and John Kochman and add in another kid or two. That was it. That was it. Those people were tired. They were exhausted. They were worn out. The very first visitor that came to our church, on the way down, my son's car broke down. We needed a car. He needed a car. We go and we met a salesman at a car dealership over on Ogden Avenue. His name was Greg Metzer. Anybody remember him? Yeah. Three or four hands go up. And I said, Greg, I'm going to be preaching at this church. It's my very first Sunday. My wife and I just moved here. He said, I just moved here from Oklahoma. I said, okay, I don't know anybody. You don't know anybody. Now I know you. You know me. Why don't you come to church? He said, I'll be there. He came. It wasn't long after that, and he got saved. It wasn't long after that, and he met this gal, and they got engaged, and they had absolutely no family. Some of you remember this? And they said, well, we want to have a wedding, but we don't have anybody to come. I said, yeah, you do. What are you going to do? I said, on a Sunday morning, you're going to get married on a Sunday morning in our worship service. And in our morning, Sunday morning worship service is when we had a wedding for Greg and his wife. It wasn't long after we arrived, though. Greg was the first one in there. It was either the second or third week. A couple of young kids showed up. Holly Knight and her young brother, Rusty. Rusty was maybe, I don't know, would you say, seven years old? And they come walking in. I said, you know, and so here they were. And they said, why are you here? I said, well, we just wanted to come. Oh, I had called their house. That was why. And I said, hey, is Mr. Knight there? I said, no, he's not here. She didn't say he was out of town. I said, no, he's not here. I said, well, is he going to be there today? Well, I don't, anyway, very vague. So finally I introduced myself and said what I wanted, whatever. So, oh, okay, you're in the Nazarene Church. Okay, well, my mom and dad, they're in business in Japan or wherever they were. But they said, I tell you what, my brother and I will come. We'll be there Sunday. They came. The next week, Larry and Joy Knight showed up. The Knight family was the first family. I have learned over the years that God knows what to give us just when we need it.
Yeah, right.
I've also learned to realize that He sure takes His time. But He's never late. He's always there.
Yeah.
I told you about those 18 people that were there. The guys on the board were going to the church on Saturday mornings, and they were cleaning the church and whatever. And I thought, those guys, they were just wore out. So I went over on a Friday night. Then I got there real early on Saturday morning. I cleaned the church. Chris helped me on Friday, and I finished it up on Saturday morning. And I had the coffee made, and I had donuts, and the guys come in to clean the church. And they said, well, what are you doing here? I just thought we'd hang out a bit. Well, we got to clean the church. No, the church is done. Let's just sit and have coffee and donuts. I mentioned to Larry, I said, well, because we visited that week and he wanted to do something Saturday morning. I said, I got to go to the church Saturday morning. Why? I'm going to go clean it. So he met me there. So now the guys in the church start walking in and they found me someplace down in another part of the building. He said, who is the guy on his knees cleaning the toilet? I said, oh, that's Larry. I said, well, who's Larry? He was in church last Sunday. Well, what's he doing cleaning the toilet? I said, let him go. Don't stop him. God has been so good at sending people to this church that became servants. They had a purpose, and they found a purpose. And God began to send people that came into our church. We put our building up for sale. And even during the time of sale, while it was up for sale, I think it took us a couple of years to sell it, but people started coming in, Jim and Ellen Book, and they came in, and they started the children's church. And eventually Paul and Jan Sloan took over that. When Paul and Jan came, shortly after, right around that, within a week or so, Kim and Denny Shannon showed up. And then there was people that just started coming in. It was kind of like, and I don't remember the order, but there was a young gal that showed up. Her name was Carol Stouffer. You don't even know who Carol Stouffer is, do you? And then she met this guy named Bob Carlton. Now you know who Carol Stouffer is. And then there was another gal that showed up. Carrie. Whatever, yeah. She's not here, is she? And then there was another young gal that showed up, Julie Overpeck. Isn't it amazing when these gals showed up, the guys started showing up? I mean, Carol comes, then here's Bob. Carrie comes, and then there's Larry. Julie comes, then there's Antonio. God knows just what we need when we need it. Then Jeff and Robin Grigsby showed up. And we were sending flyers out through the mail, and then this guy shows up, and his name was Rob Allman. And I said, well, and we went to lunch afterwards. I said, how did you get here? How did you? He said, well, actually, he said, I'm relatively new in this particular area, and I work downtown at with ABC News, and he said, but I'm staying in this house. And I can't even remember the people's name. But he said, you keep sending flyers out here. And I'm just taking care of the house. Their name, they don't even live there. But anyway, I decided to come. Well, Rob could sing. Robin could sing. In fact, last night, the pastor mentioned that the word on the street was that we have, that there's good music. No, that's really not true. Because we had great music. I mean, it was incredible that the music that we had. And when I think about there were so many different people that were singing there, that Larry was our music director. And Larry would put the specials together. Every Sunday morning, we had two specials plus a choir. And I had a list of names, and I'm, for the sake of time, I could give you just about 20, 25 names, and they were all solos. And then you put them together with a duet or a trio or a quartet or an ensemble. Chris directed the choir. It was absolutely amazing. And so we had so much we couldn't use them all. So about every quarter on a Saturday night, we'd have a musical. We didn't invite anybody, any musicians from the outside. I thought the music inside was better than what was on the outside. So Rob is a friend of Alan and Colleen Kruszewski, and they invite him to come to the music. They came on a Saturday night. They're there Sunday morning. And they become a part of the history of our church. It could go on and on and on when we stop and when we look back and when we remember. But the things about remembering and of God's blessings, there was also, when you think about the athletic programs that we had, and oh, by the way, we did wind up selling that property. And so with the money of it, we came and we were actually looking at some other property. The church board had approved. I had a check in my pocket, a check on my way to make a down payment on another piece of property. Driving down Deal Road, and I got stopped at the traffic light at Deal and Raymond. It was a Saturday morning. And I had always looked at this particular piece of property. And I'd never done anything about it, but God seemed to speak that day and said, why don't you go up and ask those people if they want to sell that place? Would you ever walk in and ask somebody if they want to sell a house? Well, anyway, I walk up there. And I walk in. Now, you have to understand, this house was old. It was dilapidated. And I walked up and I knocked on the door. And a guy opened up and said, hello, what do you want? And I said, I'm Jerry Carnes, and I'm the pastor of a church, and I would like to know if you would sell us your property. And he said, young man, I was young then. Younger. He said, young man, if you would have come here yesterday, I would have chased you off the property. But the night before, we'd had a very heavy thunderstorm. The house was old. And the ceiling would begin to fall down. Tom McDowell and his sister Grace, they're the people that live there. And he said, I'm going to talk to my wife because she told me this morning, Tom, we have to get rid of this place now. Come back and see me. I just hung on to that check, didn't do anything with it. I waited. And we wound up buying, I just can't remember. I want to say it was around $383,000, $384,000. Is that close, Greg? Or Doug? the neighbors came and said, well, we don't know, we know you're going to take really good care of that property because we know you paid at least $800,000 for it. It wasn't long after we bought the property and Tom died and I had the privilege to do his funeral. The story of our church, the building. So we had the, now we had the property. Now we begin to get the building. We hired a building company. We had the architect and things were just going. And by the way, those of you that were here last night and you saw the plans and that was from a fundraising campaign that we had, God's challenge, our choice. By the way, God always gives us the challenge and we always have the choice.
That's right.
Yeah. We have the choice to obey or not. And I'm so glad we made the choice to go forward. But there was a building designed on that. And I don't know how many of, now those of you that have been around for a while, you would remember, but the design of that building was never built. Because the contractor and architect was killed in a plane crash. Everything we had was on that plane when it went down. They didn't have the backups. They didn't have the computers. They didn't have all that stuff. Our plans, the only plans we had, were on that plane. I was trying to raise $100,000, and we were going to borrow the rest. If we could raise $100,000 cash, and the bank was going to do it, and we had already spent $80,000 of the $100,000 toward that. And now because of the tragedy, we lost our money too. This congregation never wavered. They didn't question it. Nobody got up. We were sorry. We were hurt because of the loss of a friend. But we basically had to start over, which meant finding another contractor, finding another builder. And we went. And then that's where and how this building came into existence. As people continued to come to the church, there was so much that happened. So many good things. People were getting saved. People joining the church. People were giving of their tithes and their offerings and supporting the building program. And when, as the building was going up, and we, by the way, I still think we have one of the neatest children's ministry centers in the area. I mean, I love it here. But we thought, you know what? We're not going to be able to finish the basement. We're just not going to have enough money. Our plans had a steeple. We're not going to be able to put the steeple on because we're just going to have to wait on that. God shows up just when you need him. And there was a family that said, look, we're not going to have a church like that without a steeple. So they saw that we had a steeple. Some people said, if we're going to invest in children, we have to finish. And so the basement was finished. And on it goes. When we moved into the church, last night you saw people laying out, Arlen Brower out laying sod, and there was a whole crew, there was a lot of people here that day. Because there was so much we had to do to finish, because I said, we're going in on July 11th, the next day. It was hot, it was brutal. I'd received a phone call that, sometime that week, and they said, hey, is your church going to open Sunday? We're thinking about coming. I said, yes, we are. However, we got a lot of work to do. And there's a huge work day on Saturday, and they said, well, boy, we'd like to come help, but we can't help. And they meant, but anyway, on that Saturday, a couple by the name of Kathy and Caleb Henderson brought a van load of food and fed all the workers. And then they were in church the next day. God shows up just when you need him. It's on and on. One thing after another. Larry developed the athletic programs and then the children's ministries were growing and it just, so many things. The music has always been a highlight of the church and I could just go on. But through all of the good times and through all of it, there's also, in the life of the church, it's the same thing like your life and my life, your family, my family. There are some tragedies that come along. We went years here without a funeral because everybody was so much younger than me. I mean, they were, most of them could have been my kids. But People would get sick, but they'd get well. Everyone was young. And then we had a blow. Elizabeth Ball's cancer went in again. And she eventually passed away at 16 years of age. Rick Bushman, pilot for American Airlines, landing in a severe thunderstorm at Little Rock, Arkansas, lost his life, and 10 others passed away. But through heroic efforts of Rick, he saved over 100 other people on that plane. Some of you, many of you, were at that funeral. You'll never forget it. Then there was an awful week, an awful 7 to 10 days. Renee Johnson passed away of cancer. Roger Graybill dropped dead of a heart attack. Christina Mattern passed away with cancer. And I believe all of them were under the age of 40. And it was within days. I almost sense that our church was in a time of mourning because it was so devastating. And that's what happens when you begin a family and when you come together and you fall in love with one another and you care for one another. You rejoice when people rejoice and you weep when they weep. And this was just awful. Jamie and Chris Sykes. What a great couple. So great to see him here today. It's been a long time. Jamie had a difficult pregnancy, carrying 3 little babies. I met the 2 this morning that survived the birth. But the Sykes family has a special place in heaven already for where they can go and meet their other child. And these kids can meet their sibling. A little darling of mine, I say that because I went to the hospital time and time again. Leanne Keel, how she fought and battled. And she passed away after we left. I'll never forget that. But then when you think about these things, we go through so much, but then there's the constant of people moving away, coming in and out. The last year that Chris and I were here, 100 or more people left the church, moved away in the last 9 years. Consecutively, 100 or more people moved away. And I understand that's still happening. And the only thing I can say to you, Pastor Steve, the only thing I can say to those of you who are a part of this congregation now, it's going to hurt you. In times you think you will die from it. But if God has called somebody away, He's going to speak to somebody in this congregation to step up and do and fulfill the vacancy they just left. And if that's absolutely an impossibility, there's nobody here, then you pray because God already has somebody in mind of who He's going to send. And you cannot give up on that. You can't give up on that. This is the church. And it has happened over and over and over and over. Things are going to change. But that doesn't. And what comes as a hurt and a pain and a surprise to all of you does not catch God off guard. I'm going to take a walk because I'll be back. I met a new friend today. Actually, I've known her for quite a while. But you didn't know who I was, did you? Did you ever, did your mom and dad ever say anything good about me? Did they? Did they tell you how good looking I was? Oh! How many of you know who this little girl is? This? Scott and Jamie, stand, would you? In fact, your whole family stand. So great to see these guys. This is little Bailey. Bailey Brower. She went through 4 surgeries, I think, the first week of her life. I don't know how many surgeries she has had. This little girl was not supposed to live. Bailey, you made my weekend. We prayed for her. I can't tell you how we prayed for her. When we left, we had little rocks, and we had a little, and then you folks gave us, because I like Christmas, and that hasn't changed, you gave us Christmas ornaments. We still use those, by the way. And the ones we got from these families, I took and I put on my bookshelf as a constant reminder. There was one for Bailey, one for Leanne Keel, and one for Ryan Edmondson, and I saw him someplace. And we continued. Ryan, there he is, my buddy. Man, it's great to see you. But you're looking at a miracle. And folks, God still works and still watches over us. And guess what? I even brought a clean handkerchief. But I'm going to let you go back. But I had to show you off, and thank you. Watch your step. Pastor announced last night that he had the clock taken out of here, so I have no idea. I've got... I can't do this at home, so... And I'm leaving soon. But there are a couple hours. But we must remember the past. But we can't go back there. You don't live in it. You learn from it. You build a foundation from it. You're going to make some mistakes along the way. Oh, my goodness. I made a lot of mistakes along the way. But you learn from it. And it helps you become stronger. But then, not only do you remember the past, but in remembering the past, you remember God's power. You remember God's purpose. He said, go and baptize and teach and make disciples. He said, remember his presence. Hey, wherever you go, I'll go with you. But the second hour is rejoice. These next 2 hours aren't as long. Just in case you wondered. Psalm 68:3 says, but let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. You know what? What a time of celebration to spend this weekend of rejoicing and thanking God, not only for the past, but for the present. Wow. I walked in this place. You guys have done an incredible job. And thank you, Steve, for doing that. I mean, not that you need my thanks. But I mean, it's just, this is impressive. Everything is impressive. This is your place. This is where God has you, and we are thankful and grateful for that. And God is just as alive today as he was 5, 10, 15, 20, 100 years ago, 75 years ago. He's just as alive as that. God has blessed Trinity Church with marvelous people. He brought them And they gave and they sacrificed. They served. Thank God for every pastor that's been here. I'm not talking long before me. Support your pastor today. But most of all, thank God for every layperson. For everyone that is a part of this church. They helped it survive. They helped it to come to life. They helped it to grow. And it's because of them that the lights were on and the doors were open when you showed up. Some of you may be in this church for the very first time. Come back next week and you'll hear good preaching. But I'm trying. Is anybody here for the first time this morning? I'm just curious. All right. There is. Thank you. Here's the reason I asked that. The door was open when you got here. Do you understand? Do you know what I'm trying to say? Someone chose to come to this church for the very first time this morning. And you are here. You be sure to greet her and make her feel at home and welcome. But during my years here, we saw young people, young couples come into the church. And some were single and I had the privilege of marrying them. Others came in and then they started having babies and I had the privilege of dedicating them. Now I turn around and they're going off to college and now they're coming back. And how cool is it to see... Chris and I were sitting down and looked up and we saw, man alive, these are the kids of the people that were a part of our church that are in the band and as Darren is leading it and the Tames are over there. And then we think of Katie Sloan as the youth pastor and Sally as the children's director. And we just go on. How cool. That is awesome. Yeah. This is the day and there's reasons to rejoice. And I look around and I see the people, so many people that were here when we left that are still here and they're scattered all over this congregation and yet continue to rejoice. But now there's one final thing. We remember, we rejoice, we respond. That means, and maybe you're saying, what does that mean? It means that for 75 years, this church has been in existence. And after today, the celebration is over. I mean, you can go on and celebrate God's goodness and blessings. But the baton is in your hands. Yeah. I said I wanted to talk about what we were, where we are, and what we'll become. And you folks get to choose that. I love the power of one out there. I gave, did you? If not, it's not too late. Yeah, yeah. And I want to tell the story about a power of one, though. Actually, two stories, but they're short. It's interesting that whenever I move, I need a car. And when we got to Marietta, I needed a car. Traded in my car, and I went, and I met this gentleman. His name was Carl. Carl was African-American, nice man, took care of us, just great. Finally, when the transactions were all done, and I said, Carl, I'm new in town. I'm the pastor of a church. Where do you go? He said, well, my wife and I have been thinking about, I said, why don't you come? I need a friend. I hurt for friends. So I said, would you come? Be my friend. Just visit her. He said, I'll be there tomorrow or this week. I don't think it was Saturday, but I'll be there Sunday. So he came. He actually did. He came. And the next week he brought his wife. About a year and a half ago, I wanted to talk about the Great Commission. And I called the service the Power of One. Nobody knew what it was. Well, some people did, but very few. But I called Carl. I said, Carl Martin, come on up on the platform. So he came up. Carl knew what was going on. And I said, Carl, would you tell the story how you got into this church? So he basically told the story just as I shared with you. And he said, I invited my wife. So now I kind of take over. He's taking too long. Because I'm really short. You know that. I'm 5'6 now. But anyway. Well, I was 5'7. That was in my basketball days. So his wife comes up, and then the next person is his mother, and they just kept one by one. By the time we were all through, we had between 40 and 45 people on the platform that came from Carl. Wow. Oh, by the way, did I tell you he was African American? There was one dark face in the church when I got there. Today, we are about 40%. It came from Carl. Amen. One more. Cindy and Solvay. Why can't I think of Scott? Scott and Cindy Solvay. Remember them? They had a daughter named Katie. Katie went to Neuqua Valley High School. And she was having, okay, now when I say a bad day, maybe it was a bad hair day. I mean, she wasn't falling apart. She was just, let's just say she was down in the dumps, like we all get sometimes. There's a young man in that high school that noticed it and walked over and said, Katie, what's wrong? And she just shared whatever. I don't know how long the conversation was. Might have been 5 minutes, might have been 15 minutes. But anyway, when whatever he said cheered her up. He didn't really know her. She didn't really know him. And then when he turned and walked away, and she said, hey, you ought to be a youth pastor. And said, really? He was a senior in high school, devout Christian, but didn't know exactly what God wanted him to do. It was within a day or two that he ran across somebody that was passing out brochures for Olivet Nazarene University. He went to Olivet. While there, felt a call to youth ministry. Joel Heald is my youth pastor preaching for me today. God is so good. I'm going to quit pretty soon. You have no idea the influence you are making. You have no idea the impact you're making. Now, you can make an impact in a service like this, and you have. But folks, this isn't all you need. I'll tell you where you're going to grow. You're going to grow in your small groups. And that's all good, and you need it. But if you are serious about spiritual growth, you take this word, you find a place on a regular basis, and you read it and study it and obey it. That's where your growth will come from. And because of that, God is going to break your heart for lost people. God will give you a vision for the community. And if he doesn't give you a vision, you just come in. This guy's got one. So help him build his. But we're together. We remember. We rejoice. We respond. I love this place. I do. I'm a long way away, but I'll never forget you. Thank you. I have one more friend. I just feel like I want to do this. Is your wife in here? Oh, I'm sorry. Haley, would you come up? Well, you can come too, Steve. I'd like to ask the church board members that are in here, would you get up and come down and join us to the front? I want to close today with a prayer. You know what? The baton it was passed over 10 years ago. It went to someone, and it went to another. But that's the way God works. But this wonderful couple has the baton. And it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And as they go out front, here's their support. Here's their love. Here's the ones that are encouraging. These are the ones that are saying, "Pastor, we love it." And at times they'll say, "We hate it." And at times we'll say, "Can we work this thing out?" And God, in His love, looks down and He says, "Way to go, church. I put you together. Intelligent people. And all I want you to do is love me with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul, and then love others as yourself. And if you will do those things, I'll bless you." And so, would you bow your heads and join me? And Chris, come up with me, would you? Heavenly Father, what a special blessing, what a special treat it is to be here today. And God, as we close the service, it's just the beginning. Lord, it's not just closing a chapter. It might be closing a chapter to 75 years. But Lord, this church has a story, just like every individual here has a story. And God, another chapter is about to be written. In fact, there's pages that are written every single day. And God, I pray for your blessings upon Pastor Steve, upon Kaylee, upon their children. God, how we have come to love them, to appreciate them. And God, I don't believe that they are here by accident. He shared with me their call here yesterday and how that came about. And God, you were in it. And we know that you have nothing but great, great days ahead of them. But I pray that you would be with them. Lord, it's always easy to rejoice and give praise to answers to prayer. But sometimes it's hard when it seems like the answers aren't coming. And when it seems like we've fallen off the mountain and we're down in the valley. And it's okay to be in the valley, but it gets discouraging when we don't know if we're going to get out. But God, your word tells us that all things are possible to him who believes.
That's right.
You said, "Call unto me and I'll answer." You said, "Let not your heart be troubled, but believe in me." And Father, I pray that you would help this pastor, this church board, this congregation to put their hands in yours and say, "God, you're the cornerstone. You're the one that's in charge. And I pray that you'd give them guidance, wisdom, and have favor upon their personal lives and upon the ministry of this church. And we'll give you thanks and praise in your wonderful name. Amen." Love you, guys. Love you, guys.